tonight to turn to four different passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 1, also Ephesians chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then the book of Philemon. In Romans chapter 1, we'll read verse 9. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, again Paul is doing the speaking in each of these verses. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and we'll read verse 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. In the book of Philemon, verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Each of these verses are the writing of Paul. They each contain the phrase, in my prayers. My prayers. That's our subject this evening. My prayers. From those four verses, we learn that Paul had a prayer life. That should be true of each and every one of us. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that you and I have as children of God. It is one of the most valuable resources that a child of God has. It, of course, is absolutely essential to our spiritual well-being. You cannot possibly be right spiritually if your prayer life is not right. Prayer is a great resource because through prayer we find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that very plainly. It is through prayer that we find strength. It's through prayer that we find enablement from God. It is through prayer that we find peace. Find assurance in prayer. We find guidance in prayer. We find instruction in prayer. We find wisdom in praying. So we see that prayer is a great resource. We also find relief in prayer. We find comfort in prayer. And I believe through prayer we become a blessing to others. There's no better way to get through this life than regular, habitual, taking everything to God in prayer. The verse that Brother Dennis read this morning, Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray. And that word ought, first of all, implies an obligation. If you ought to do something, that's an obligation. It also implies that it's advisable. If you ought to do something, it's advisable that you do. That we ought to pray simply means that it is advice. That's good advice. That we ought to pray continually. It also means that there's a choice. The implication is if we ought to do something, there are other things that we can do instead of. So prayer is an obligation. It is advisable that we pray. And it is a choice. We make a choice whether or not to pray. That is, there are things we can do instead of praying. So it's a choice. We want to consider these four verses, my prayers. First of all, we see, as we've already mentioned, that Paul had a prayer life. The first thing said about Paul after his salvation was, "Behold, he prayeth." Acts chapter 9, verse 11. "Behold, he prayeth." And as you read his epistles, you see that from that point on, he was a man of prayer. You often see him praying. He has much to say upon the subject of prayer. He wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, and he says that prayer ought to be made for all men. You ought to pray for everybody. He goes on, he mentions that we're to give thanks, should be made for everything. He wrote to the Philippians to be careful or to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications. He wrote in the book of Ephesians that we ought to always be praying. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 that we're to let our requests be made known unto God and that we are to pray without ceasing. He said in Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer. So Paul often wrote about praying. He often requested prayer. The churches that he wrote to, many times Paul would ask them to pray for him. So Paul was a man who believed in prayer. He was a man who believed in praying. Now, if we were to ask each one here tonight, do you believe in prayer? I'm sure that everybody here would say, yes, I believe in prayer. Do you believe in praying? Yes, I believe in praying. But do you? Do you pray? What kind of prayer life do you have? I mean, can we honestly say that we believe in praying if we're not praying? I don't believe we can. Paul instructed those he was writing to pray about everything. There's nothing you can't pray about. He said to pray without ceasing. Now, Paul, of course, had a very busy life. Paul had a very eventful life. You read the book of Acts, and everywhere Paul went, he labored, he worked for God. He traveled either by foot or by sea. He was frequently beaten. He was imprisoned on several different occasions. He suffered shipwreck. Almost everywhere he went, churches were established. And after he established those churches, he stayed in touch with those believers, seeking to encourage them. So he had a very busy life. He had a very eventful life. And in the midst of it all, Paul prayed. Paul always found time to pray. Always. It seems like his life was characterized by prayer. Prayer was a central part of Paul's life. Prayer was a major part of his life. It was a very significant part of his life. It was a very important part of his life. But again, the question is, to what extent is our life characterized by prayer? Oh, I believe in praying. But to what extent is our life characterized by prayer? Oh, I don't have any trouble asking people to pray for me. But to what extent is our life characterized by prayer? What role does praying have in our life? Is it a central part of our life? Is it a major part of our life? Now, if we go back to the verses that we read for our text, beginning with Romans chapter 1, verse 9, I want you to notice that Paul had a prayer life. He had a constant prayer life. It wasn't something he just did every now and then. In verse 9, he said, without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. Without ceasing. It's just like he's saying, without ceasing I pray. And without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. He says that he ceases not to give thanks. Again, notice, cease not. Paul was always praying. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. He says, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Night and day. That is, I pray in the evening. I pray in the daytime. And whenever I pray, he says, I remember thee in my prayers. Philemon verse 4, he uses the word always. So all of these verses teach us that Paul had a prayer life. But they teach us also that Paul had a constant prayer life. When Paul used the phrase, my prayers, it meant something. Now, a lot of folks, I mean, you hear it all the time. People say, oh, you're in my thoughts and you're in my prayers. And I take that to mean from a lost person that they're thinking about you and they're concerned and you appreciate it. Many times that's what you think when a saved person says that as well. Oh, you're in my thoughts and you're in my prayers. The truth is, you're probably more in their thoughts than you are their prayers. And again, you appreciate that. You appreciate the concern. But when someone says, my prayers, that ought to mean something. And when Paul said, my prayers, it meant something. Because Paul was always praying. No matter what the season was, Paul was praying. And that's what it is to pray without ceasing. Whether it be a time of joy or whether it be a time of sorrow, we ought to be praying. Whether it be a time of trial and affliction, we ought to be praying. Whether it be time of health or days of sickness, we ought to be praying. We shouldn't just pray for folks when they're sick. We ought to pray for folks when they're healthy. We shouldn't just pray for folks when they're dying. We ought to pray for them when they're living. We ought to always be praying. There's never a time when we are not to pray. In times of strength, we're to pray. In times of weakness, we're to pray. In other words, our lives are to be marked by prayer. Prayer is to be significant in our lives. It is to have a major role in our lives. It is to be central in our lives. So when we use the phrase, my prayers, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is our prayers? To what extent do we pray? To what extent is our life marked by prayer? Does prayer have a significant role in our lives? When someone calls you on the phone and says, pray for me, what do? Well, as soon as you get off the phone, you ought to be praying. You ought to pray. You shouldn't wait several hours. If they were burdened enough to call you right then, it seems to me like you ought to pray right then. Jesus, notice in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 5 through 7, he's teaching upon the subject of prayer. And in verse 5, he says, and when thou prayest, in verse 6, he says, when thou prayest, and in verse 7, he says, but when ye pray. When thou prayest, twice, when ye pray, once, three times, implying that God's people should pray. Assuming that God's people will be praying. Therefore, when we say, my prayers, it ought to mean something. That ought to mean something. Because that's something we ought to be doing all the time. Prayer ought to be such a central, such a major, such a significant part of our lives. That is our response to everything. Pray. When you get bad news, pray. When you get good news, pray. That should be our first response. That should not be our last resort. If prayer is your last resort, when you say, my prayers, that doesn't mean a thing. It really doesn't. But when your first response is to bow your head in prayer or look up to God in prayer, then those two words, my prayers, they mean something. And prayer ought to be such a significant part of our lives that that's our first response. Someone approaches us with a difficulty, we ought to immediately say, Lord, help me. You ought to pray. Lord, help them. You ought to constantly. That ought to be our first response. And really, whatever our first response is, says much about our spiritual condition. It speaks volumes of our spiritual condition. Many times the Lord has to bring individuals to the very lowest that He can bring them before they'll pray. It shouldn't require that. Before you pray, it shouldn't require your brothers and sisters in Christ to get in such a low condition before you pray for them. You ought to always be praying. So Paul had a prayer life. So what does this mean? Well, to pray is to call upon God. That's what it means to pray. We read in 1 Chronicles 4 and 10 that Jabez called on the God of Israel. That is, Jabez prayed. He called upon God. To say that Paul was a man of prayer means that it was a very important thing in Paul's life to call upon God. It means that his life was marked by the fact that Paul would often call upon God. To what extent, again, is our life characterized by calling upon God? How often do we call upon God? Do we call upon God every day? Certainly we ought to. Do you not have enough needs? Do you not have enough burdens to call upon God every day? Do you not have enough to be thankful for every day to call upon God in thanksgiving? We ought to always be calling upon God. Our lives ought to be characterized by calling upon God. When is it that people call upon God? Well, people call upon God out of a sense of need. Paul was a man of prayer. Paul had a prayer life. That tells me that Paul always realized that he was a needy creature. And always realizing that, you're going to call upon God. If prayer is just the last resort, your problem is the only time you think you need something is when you're in trouble. And it's really quite self-centered to use God for a fire escape. To just call upon Him when you're in trouble. Or when you have a very specific need, or you're aware of a very specific need. People call upon God when they're in need. So if we are constantly praying, we're constantly recognizing that we're in need. But also people call upon God when they desire that which they need. We realize that we're needy. And we desire to have what we need. Those two things will lead you to call upon God. People call upon God out of a sense of helplessness. You know you have a need. You want what you need. And you know that only God can give it. If you know those three things, guess what you'll do? You'll call upon God. It's the failure to recognize these things that causes prayer not to be significant in our lives. People will call upon God out of a sense of urgency. That is, you've got to have something right now, and only God can give it. You're going to call upon Him. And we ought to feel a sense of urgency at all times. People call upon God because they believe that God is able to provide their need. That God is able to grant their desire. People call upon God because they realize that there's something more than what they have. They realize that there are greater possibilities. So they call upon God. My point is, we ought to always realize these things. And therefore, our life ought to be characterized, our life ought to be marked by the fact that we are a people that call upon God. And that ought to be our first response. Talk to the Lord. We get bad news, we get any kind of news, our first response is, I got to go tell the Lord. I've got to talk to the Lord about this. That ought to be our first response. The very first thing that comes to our mind. And I believe this was the case with Paul. So to pray is to call upon God. Paul was a man of prayer. That is, he was a man who often called upon the Lord. In all true praying, you cannot pray without this. We take our proper place before God. We take our place as the creature. We take our place of weakness. To pray is to admit weakness. To pray is to admit ignorance. To pray is to admit need. And that Paul was a man of prayer tells me that he was a man who realized his weakness. He was a man who realized his ignorance. his need. In all true praying, self-will and self-indulgence is laid aside. And man takes the place of surrender to God. And I believe that such prayer characterized the life of Paul. But the question is, how significant is such praying in our lives? To what extent is our life characterized by taking our place before God? In all true praying, there is an earnest seeking of God. Praying is seeking the Lord. It's crying out to God. It's seeking God. It's seeking the face of God. Is our life characterized by seeking the Lord? How often do we find ourselves seeking God? You go home tonight and you get the news that somebody you love is about to pass away. If you have an ounce of spirituality in you, you're going to pray. But that's not what it should take to get us to pray. Is our life characterized by seeking God? Is it central to our life? Is seeking God a significant part of our life? So in all true praying, there is a seeking of God. But not only that, it's a seeking of God for something definite. Prayer is not just making generic requests. When we pray, we are to pray for specifics. We're not just to use general terms in our praying. We're to ask for definite things. We're to go to God with definite needs and specific petitions. So, real praying, needs are realized, needs are felt, and God is sought. And that pretty much describes the life of a person of prayer. And it's this individual, when they say, "My prayer," it means something. That really means something. And this kind of praying was constant with Paul. My prayers. In other words, praying was something he did. My prayers. Somebody says, "You're in my prayers," you should be able to assume that they pray. But people use that term who do not pray. But when Paul used the term "my prayers," it was something he did. Praying was something he did. He not only prayed, but as we've already seen, he was constant in his prayers. In other words, praying was something that he constantly did. You also notice, if we go back to each of these verses, in Romans chapter 1, and we read verse 9 for our text. But notice verse 8. First, I thank my God. So Paul, when he prayed, gave thanks. In Ephesians 1 and verse 16, he said, "Making mention of you in my, always in my prayers," and he mentioned giving thanks to God. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. "I thank God whom I serve." And then he goes on, "that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers." Then notice Philemon verse 4. Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So four times Paul mentions my prayers, and each time he gave thanks. Not only was he a man who was constant in praying, whenever he prayed, he thanked God. You and I, we need to look at our prayers. How much thanksgiving do we find in our prayers? I mean, the very fact that you can pray, you ought to be thankful. You ought to thank God that He has opened up a way that you can approach the throne of grace. Really, we ought not talk to God without giving Him thanks. We ought to always thank God in every prayer. No matter how urgent the need is, we ought to thank the Lord that we can pray. So we consider those two words, my prayers. And we say that Paul's life was, prayer life was marked by thanks. Is our life characterized by thanking God in my prayers? Each time in these verses, he also mentioned that there were specific things in his prayers. He said in Romans 1 and verse 9, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And notice that phrase, in my prayers, I make mention of you. Ephesians 1 and verse 16, he said, making mention of you in my prayers. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, he said, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. And in Philemon 4, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So in each case, he mentions what he's praying about. In all prayer, you have to be praying about something. We need to examine that phrase, my prayers, in relation to ourselves. And we need to examine the contents of our praying. If you were to keep a journal of what you pray for, you might be surprised at the end of a week, at the end of a month. I'm sure you would find some very definite patterns. But if you really look at a lot of our prayer life, I believe you would see a lot of self-centeredness. A lot of self. Throughout Paul's epistles, some of Paul's prayers are recorded. And as you read the prayers that Paul prayed, see that they are far different from most of the prayers that are prayed today. As you read Paul's prayers, you cannot help but notice that priority is always, and I mean every single prayer that is recorded of Paul, in every single case, priority is given to spiritual matters. Always. Now compare that to our prayer lives. And many times if we were to look at our prayer lives, we would see just the opposite. We would see that priority is given to material matters. Priority is given to physical matters, rather than spiritual matters. Whatever is recorded in the Word of God is recorded for our learning. And there are the recorded prayers of Paul, and again, in each case, spiritual things had priority. He prayed for such things as inner strength. That's spiritual. He prayed for such things as Christ-centeredness. When was the last time you prayed that the Lord would make you Christ-centered? that the Lord would cause you to have your whole life centered around Christ. Oh, Lord, heal me of this ailment, supply this need, do this, do that. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, make me Christ-centered? When was the last time when you were praying for someone else? Lord, cause them to be Christ-centered. He prayed for such things as comprehension of spiritual things. He prayed for a fullness of God's power. He prayed for a fullness of God's presence. He prayed for God's intervention. He prayed for deliverance. Priority was given to spiritual things. He prayed that God would bless him spiritually. So consider those two words, my prayers, in regard to ourselves. And as we look at the contents of my prayers individually, what do we see? What do we see? Who is in my prayers? Paul mentioned here four times the different ones in our text. You are in my prayers. That is, there were individuals that Paul prayed for. We can look around the building. You can see your brothers and sisters in Christ. And as you look at each one, it is your duty to pray for them. It is your responsibility to pray for them. It ought to be your desire to pray for them. It ought to be your longing to pray for them. As you look around, just consider for now your church family. There are many needs. Right now, in this building, there are many, many, many needs. There are many concerns. There is not a single person sitting here, unless it's a little child, that does not have some concerns. And serious concerns. There are many burdens. There isn't anyone here that does not have burdens. Whether they've been burdens you've created or it doesn't matter. Everybody here has burdens. Everybody here has hurts and heartaches. Can't get through life, you can't get through a day without experiencing some of these things. There are many difficulties. There are many challenges in the lives of everyone that's here. Not only in our individual lives, but then you consider the families of each individual here. The needs are innumerable. The concerns are many. But what I want to ask you tonight is, how many people in this building, can you look right in the eye and honestly say, you are in my prayers? You are in my prayers. First of all, what does that mean, my prayers, in your life? What does that mean? Does that mean once a week? Does that mean once a day? Does that mean once a month? What does my prayers mean? But how many people can you look at them and honestly say, I mean, with God being your witness, you are in my prayers? Now, wouldn't it be wonderful to know that everyone in your church family, that you are in the prayers of each and every one of them? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But we need to stop and ask ourselves, how many in my church family are in my prayers? Oh, we want people to pray for us. If you're thinking right, you want folks to pray for you. But that's really not the issue. The issue here really is not how many people in the church are praying for me. It'd be wonderful if every church member was praying for you. That every one of us was praying for everyone. But I don't think there are too many individuals that can look at every single church member and say, you are in my prayers. That is, on a consistent, regular basis. And I believe that's how it ought to be. You are in my prayers. I don't care if it takes making a list in alphabetical order and reading the list to the Lord. If that's what it's going to take, that's better than not praying. We need to go beyond our little circle. In most churches, individuals have their own little circle. And they'll pray for folks in that circle. My point is, everyone in your church family ought to be in that circle. I don't care who it is. You say, well, I don't really know them. Whose fault's that? You pray for them anyway. Well, I don't particularly get along with that person. More the reason to pray. Our personalities just don't mix. More the reason to pray. But we ought to be able to look at one another and be able to say, you, my sister, you, my brother, are in my prayers. And when we use that term, my prayers, it ought to mean something. It ought to mean that we are praying for them every single day. That doesn't mean that you have to know everything about their business. That's called a busybody. That's not a prayer warrior. That's a busybody. There's a difference. Busybodies don't pray. You don't have to know every need, because the one you're talking to, he does. So all we have to do is mention their names in prayer. When we know specific needs, then we can pray concerning specific needs. But I would like to get to the point in Home Baptist Church where every single church member is praying for every other church member, and where every single church member can know that they're all praying for me. You are in my prayers. So again, I ask you tonight, can you look at each individual? I mean each and every one. And really, our prayers need to go beyond our church family. We're just making application here to church family. But can you look at each one and honestly say, God, you're being your witness, you're in my prayers. I'm praying for you. How often we tell folks, I'll pray for you, and we don't. Usually when I tell somebody I'll pray for them, I'll pray for them right there, because I'm afraid I might forget. So it's best just to pray right then and there. just ask God to help them to pray. So thinking of these two words, my prayers. If you use those two words, my prayers, what does that mean? What does that mean? If you say to me, my prayers, what does that mean? Are we a people of prayer? What connection do those two words have in our life? How much of our life is dominated by my prayers? How significant is that in our life? To what extent is our life characterized by my prayers? We need to be a people of prayer. And we need to know, we need to have the assurance that folks are praying. You know, it's comforting. It's comforting to know that as a church member, you don't have to get on the phone and call each member and ask each member to specifically pray for you. It's just comforting to know that they're doing it without you telling them a thing. To pray. So may we strive to pray for each and every one. Pray for one another. Pray earnestly for one another. Don't wait till someone gets sick before you pray for them. Pray for them when they're healthy. Don't wait for somebody to get backslidden before you pray. You know, many times we pray for the backslidden more than we do for those who are serving God. Does somebody have to get backslidden in order for us to pray? Certainly shouldn't be the case. We ought to pray for those that are right with God. We ought to pray for those that aren't. We need to be a praying people. Especially as we begin to come to the close of the last days, we had better be praying for one another. I mean, is there anyone here that doesn't need prayer? Everyone here needs prayer. Every one of us. So we need to be praying for one another. Brother Larry.